I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
Hey, this is Jules McQueen, and you are listening to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast.
It's really, really not that good.
Working class.
Holy shit, another Zoom podcast, a pandemic podcast part. Three or four, whatever this is now.
Hey, cheers, boys. Nice to see you, boys.
Good to see you guys.
Cheers, love, hey. You know it's better to see you guys this way.
Well, yeah. Well, but you know what's funny? Like, all of us, are all going to work like as normal and everything. We're just like being kind of cautious for our families. I don't know. Are you working?
I don't either.
I'm working from home.
Oh, damn. Steve, are you working?
I'm going back to work next on Monday.
Eric, you're working.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm still slaving away.
Yeah, I'm essential, so no big deal.
The only income I've had coming in is Daddy Trump gave me $1,200, so.
Dude, he forgot me.
He forgot you, but unemployment must have forgot about me because that's a whole mess, so.
You got to pay your taxes.
No, I don't. No, that's, you know, for everybody out there that's listening to this and is struggling, I mean, you know, we're all working class just like you. We're struggling too.
You want to hear how white trash I am? I'm working class, but you want to hear how white trash I am? This is a real story. I texted my tattoo artist today to see if I could pay him extra to come do a kitchen tattoo at my house.
What did he say?
Still kitchen tattoo. Welcome back to high school. My only two tattoos were done in a living room and in a basement.
Yeah, but like this tattoo artist is legit, though.
Yeah, he's legit. Well, this dude had a tattoo gun, so I don't know how more legit you can get.
I was talking to my buddy Tyler at work, and I'm like, hey, I'm in a tattoo mood again. He's like, yeah, me too. He goes, I won't say his name. I'll say it later, but I don't want to call him out just in case I got a fresh tat. I don't want to get him in trouble. But he's like, text him and see if he'd do fresh kitchen tats for us. And I was like, hell yeah. And then we could help our barber, Colin, see if he could do a driveway cut. Just cut us in the driveway so we're outside.
No, I need a driveway cut.
Yeah.
Dude, if you set up that kitchen tattoo, you know, allegedly if it happens, I'm not saying it will happen, but if it does, you know, holler at your boys. We can get them full of appointments.
I'll get the logo. I'll only get the working class logo if I can get it done in a kitchen.
Oh, for sure. We all got to if he's coming.
You
got to
get it in the studio.
You got to do it like in a garage.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I do it in a garage, like sawdust getting blown on it. Anyway.
That's metal.
We're podcasting. Yeah. So thank you for joining us in these weird times. And so if you're listening in podcast land, this will probably be aired as a video podcast as well on YouTube. I don't know. We're doing the Zoom meeting. So if you are in audio only land, you're probably like, good to see you. What the fuck? They're on the phone, but we can see each other on the screen. So let's get to it. So thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. I feel a little off our groove because we haven't like hung out for a while. But the podcast is presented by HHA Sports. And then that's when Eric prompts the,
hey,
and we got a Tetra this. And you got the big Kingpin with the lens hood and all that. That Tetra is pretty killer, man. I was going through all of our HHA pitchers today, and we put down a lot of critters with those sights, man. We've been shooting them we've been shooting them for 4 years now, just about.
Four or five, ain't it?
What's that?
Four or five, ain't it?
Yeah.
It was shortly after the first time we had Scotty Bakken on.
That's true, yeah. So we shot them for a long time. They have the Virtus Dropaway Rest, lifetime warranty on all their products, hhasports.com. I think WCB15 is our discount code there. So go there and save yourself some money. Also brought to you by Scent Crusher. And what's cool about that is like we can show it on video. I got the room clean. That unit saves our asses in the studio. Run that baby after Steve leaves and you're set. So, or if you're a parent that does cloth diapering, not only for your hunting clothes, you run that in your bathroom after you spray out cloth diapers. Pretty.
So for all you stinky hippies out there,
let's throw them in here.
Exactly. Just throw the shit diapers in the closet. The podcast also brought to you by Victory Archery. Eric's holding up props.
Hey.
Rip TKOs. I think we're going to... Is that what you got there? Rip TKOs?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm excited to shoot those suckers again. Going bear hunting. I'm hoping to put one through a bear. We'll see. Also, Thermoseat. Man, I love doing sponsors when we have like product placement things. Everybody's got a product.
Wait, hold on.
Dude, how corny are we? This is great. This is great.
I was actually sitting on it.
I'm Turkey Palooza. I think those Thermoseats are going to get their work in for them here in a couple of weekends.
Dude, I use this. The big ass wedge thing. I use this seat like every day hunting last year. This is the most comfortable seat. So for a fat dude,
you use it like three times.
Huh?
So you use it like three times?
Oh yeah, every time. It looks brand new.
Got the wrapper on it.
Oh, that's mine.
Oh, sweet. I can tell you use a lot. The podcast also brought to you by Elite Archery. I think we're going to shoot the cures this year. As of turkey season and bears come in the next month or so, we're all shooting the ritual. Is that the working class bow, Eric, you got holding up?
Yep.
She's pretty. That's the ritual. I don't know what...
I don't know if I can get it.
33, right?
Yeah, right in there. I'm shooting the Ritual 35. I absolutely love that bow. I got it in all max one just because I was planning on doing a lot of Western hunts with it. Also, Lone Wolf Custom Gear. So the 1.0, the 0.5, and the camera arm. The camera arm is kind of like the focus of everything lately, and this is probably going to get our whole crew filming again. I mean, that's the profile on it if you're looking on video, and the thing weighs nothing, and you can fit it in your pocket. I think they just call it the pocket arm, so you can just tuck it away and you're good. But I'm planning on bringing this to Wyoming for bears now. So that's the plan. Should be pretty cool. Hopefully we can get some deer down. Where am I at? Also, Big Pine. Doug, are you Doug or Eric, are you guys doing spring plots anywhere? Or are you going to wait till fall?
I'm going to wait till fall on mine.
That's what I'm doing too. I should have planned spring though.
I might try a spring plot in the backyard here. We'll see what happens.
Oh yeah, you might as well. Do you have a tractor yet?
No, my dad can just bring one over though.
Boom, there you go. And then if you have some Big Time Food Plot seed, at the, use code WCB2020, I think is the code for food plot stuff. 20% off.
Just throw your whole backyard into a food plot, then you don't have to mow it.
That's a good point.
Just put part of it in CRP that you don't feel like mowing, just say it's CRP grass.
Exactly. Put into a program. I had every intention of putting a spring plot in, but just with everything going on in the land owner where I'm hunting, you know, just is like, I don't want to see anybody. I'm like, that's fair. I get it.
You don't want to see anybody. Man, it doesn't sound like you're going to have a good fall.
No, not at all. If this thing carries on, no, he just, it just everyone's being.
Because of the virus. I thought he just didn't want to see anyone on this place.
Yeah. No. It's just because of the virus. I called. I was like, well, let's give it a couple of weeks. I'm like, yeah, we might be missing a window here, but it is what it is.
The podcast is also brought to you by Hunter's Blend Coffee. They, I think they're running a giveaway right now on their group on Facebook, and I'm drawing the blank. I should have had it pulled up. That's great coffee. We haven't seen each other, so I haven't been able to give you guys your coffee. Let me see what this group is. I know they're doing lots of giveaways and stuff like that. Hunter's Blend. Oh, it's called the Hunter's Blend Hunt Club. Easy enough. On Facebook. So go check that out. A lot of good people in there. Hunter's Blend, they put out some good videos. And it's great coffee. And it's...
Yeah.
So fuck it.
We're gonna see how good it does in a rub, because I'm going to make a pulled pork rub with as a coffee rub. I'm going to try some Hunter's Blend. I'll let you guys know how that is.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Sorry. Also, Old Barn Taxidermy. Dude, I heard Julian texted me from Old Barn and said that, yeah, there you go, perfect, that both my bucks might be done, are being mounted next week. So, I imagine within 2 weeks I'll be taking a trip to Old Barn. So I'm super excited about that, to see Creepy and all that. So, I mean, my other buck too, I feel bad for that guy. He gets overshadowed, but be cool. It's going to be cool to bring him home at the same time. Normally that doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Can cooker is, so I cooked ribs on the can cooker the other week and that was freaking tasty. But Steve, you said you got a, what do you have, a roast recipe?
Oh yeah. All right. I've talked about this a couple times. When people haven't, if they don't remember or they're, you know, just now hearing about this. So I take a venison roast and what I do is I'll take either, some like seasoning salt. So Lowry's works pretty good. And you sprinkle that on there, get a nice little base on there. And sometimes if you want to spice it up, you can. I put a lot of chili powder, some garlic, not garlic salt, because you already got the seasoning salt, but like garlic powder. And then I drench that some bitch in maple syrup. And I try to get like a higher end maple syrup, because personally, I feel like when you use like a higher end maple syrup, like
Aunt Jemima?
No, don't use that, because it's like, it's not as runny. Like I like a little bit more runny. That way it's just not sticking on there, so it can, you know, do whatever. So
how much maple syrup are you putting on it then?
I do a
3 gallons.
If you get like a jar, I always just do like a 1, 2, 3, 4. I count to 4 and just let it coat there.
You just made it up on the spot, but I'll go with it.
No, I seriously do. Like, you know, because you don't want to overdo it. You don't want to kill the flavor of the venison. So then you get your can cooker, and what you do is you put some water in the bottom. It kind of all depends on how much steam you want to do. I just put like a cup, maybe 2 cups in there.
Mm-hmm.
Dump it in there. Throw a little bit of seasoning salt in there, because you got to think that steam that's coming off there. If you can put flavor in the steam to get it into the meat, that's just what goes through my head. Whether that's science or not, I don't know. So I'll put a little bit of here in there, and then I'll pour maple syrup in that water, and so then it goes in there and turn it on about medium high. Go check it in about 35, 45 minutes or so. Kind of check and see where you're at. And if you got a meat thermometer, make sure you check the internal temperature. I can't remember what it is. I just go off of, if it's done, I'm kind of hillbilly. I feel like you can eat deer raw, so it doesn't matter how well it's cooked.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And go with that. That's a real simple recipe. And I mean, if it's a bigger cut of meat, you know, and it's not going to fit in the hole on the big can cooker, I mean, maybe cut it up, do it in two. But for the most part, yeah, get a Venny rub and just go to town.
That sounds it. The maple syrup had me intrigued. All right, that's fair, man. That's a good recipe. I don't know. Let me know, listeners, write in if you've ever put maple syrup on meat. Have you ever done that, Eric?
No.
I mean, I know you don't. You cook with brown sugar a lot, though, with meat.
I do a lot of brown sugar, yeah.
And that's something I don't dabble in as much. I should, though. Podcast is now brought to you by, we've worked with this company for a while, but it's a new like official partner for 2020, Gator Outdoors. And what we love about Gator Outdoors is that lately they've come on the scene more as a lifestyle brand, outfitting the working class. That's like the first thing you see if you go to their website. It's hardworking people doing what they love with hunting, and really just it's a lifestyle. So they have killer clothing. You can get on gatoroutdoors.com, shop your little heart out. Almost everybody that we work with, I think they work with. So it's kind of a perfect fit. And he's also going to be dealing True Timber camo. So here soon we're going to be all outfitted in all the True Timber goodies. So I'm pretty excited about that. Wade, once all this COVID stuff, Wade's the owner. We're going to get him in for another podcast in the new studio. He did a podcast in the old studio, so I'm excited to get him in here and podcast our little hearts out again. I think he's coming to Turkey Palooza, actually, so that's going to be awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I believe he's got a turkey on the ground, so maybe he's going to have a...
Dude, Gator has been tearing it up. If you want to follow like a company that actually posts successful hunt pictures over and over and over again, and like really tasteful, good pictures that represent like the true lifestyle of hunting, that's a good page to follow. Oh, and they're doing a giveaway.
Yeah, wait
a
second.
I think he was doing a thing like if you shot a turkey or your kid did or something, he would drive out to you, take pictures, and give you a hat.
Oh, he was? I didn't know that. I must have missed that part. That's awesome.
Yeah, he had a whole box of hats. He's like, let me know if you shoot a turkey, I'll bring a hat out.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's pretty cool. Why don't we think of that shit, Eric? What the fuck?
I don't know.
It's the wage brain's getting in the way, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. I drink too much and my wage brain hurts all the time. So
we drink way too much.
They call that withdrawals, but it's all right. We're here. We're kicking. The podcast also brought to you by Loophole. Dude, I'm in a Loophole ad right now on the old social medias.
Hey, who am I? Look, I'm Kurt. I'm Kurt. Except I don't have hand tattoos.
Damn, gotta get with it. Hey, you know what I was thinking? The best thing about having a hand tattoo, and I got to get my other one done, is you don't have to wear gloves. I got
kids. Yeah, kettle brands.
So,
pro tip. Oh, bro, I got my hand tattooed in Mossy Oak Bottom Land. Shit, what am I doing?
That actually would be really cool. I'm gonna get my face tattooed from here up. That way, when I wear my like my neck gaiter, you know what I mean. Just get camo like paint tattooed on you like a psychopath.
Like original real tree in your face.
Did we pass anybody? We took a long time on that, but that's okay. You got a veteran shout out?
I do.
By the
veteran
way,
shout out this week was
go ahead. Sorry.
It was sent in by a very good buddy of ours, Mr. Paul Serrata sent this one in. And Paul's one of my like favorite human beings on the planet.
Yeah, great guy.
Start with Paul. The veteran's name that we're going to shout out this week is Ben Carey. He's in U.S. Air Force. Ben served active duty with the Air Force as a firefighter from 04 to 08 with one deployment. He continues to serve this country as an Air Force reservist. Ben works as a firefighter at the Rock Island Arsenal Fire Department, and he does listen to WCB.
Wow.
Ben enjoys hunting. And does his hunting in his home state of Wisconsin. So, Ben, thank you for your service to this country, and thank you for continuing to be at the ready, be at the helm. It's like, shit pops off, I'm ready to go. So we thank you, Ben, and appreciate that you. Veterans mission,
Paul. Thank you for your service, brother.
And sorry for everything we've done since you listened.
We do apologize about that.
I don't work that in really the room. If you don't like it, you can come tell me.
I don't know what I'm sorry for, but I'm sorry for the things that we've done. You know what I mean?
Just as like a blanket statement. It's like, if you're charged with racketeering, like we're accused of like racketeering. Like, sorry. It's a collection of crimes.
Racketeering, ears, and wage brains. Yeah. Yeah. Set up mafia crimes on people's brains. We're a cult. Surprise.
Yeah, but essentially, would you guys like some flavor to write
in? 366 episodes in, like you're in at this point. Just go with it. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, if you didn't appreciate the cover art of this episode, you can go back to Canada. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
that's a fact.
I'm wearing a TNK shirt. I can tell people to go back to Canada, whether they're there there or not. You
know. I mean, a mullet, a bald eagle, American flag, and a turkey. How can you not like it?
Okay, let me ask you this. Should American eagles are sweet. Bald eagles, American eagle.
The store?
But a turkey would be a second place for, like, the bird of America, right?
Oh, for sure.
You Ben think? Franklin wanted the turkey to be the nation's bird, funny enough.
I'm not mad at that.
Which one would they choose, though?
It would suck, though, if they were federally protected.
They'd be everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
But anyways, could you imagine if that was the bird? You know how awesome bald eagle season would be, dude?
You can't get any bird prey that I'm aware of.
It'd just be a picture of Eric with a bald eagle and a turkey start in the background.
It'd be the opposite flip-flop.
Could you imagine the amount of stupid shit? Like, you've seen like that shirt that's it's like the bald eagle with the mullet. Like, could you imagine like people just are like, or, like, or, like they need to, they're like, yeah, I shot my gun, turkey gobbles in the background, fucking America.
Dude, that actually would be perfect. I'm not mad at this at all.
You flew right in at 5 yards, came right to the decoys.
Dude, I think we should do this. We should start this.
Yeah, that's great, actually. I think that's well worth it. But getting to the point of this is, Eric, dude, you finally killed a turkey.
Finally.
First one ever.
First one. In what, 4 years? 4 or 5 years that I've been out?
Okay, so let me ask you this, because we talked about this on, I think, the episode we did 2-3 episodes ago with Philip. And you weren't a fan of turkeys then.
No.
Are you a fan of them now?
A little bit more.
Okay.
So, please.
A little bit more. Not as much as I thought I would be. Like, I just still, like, my heart was pounding and stuff, and the turkey came in so fast that it was just like, he came running in, I shot him, I ran out, and he was dead.
That's awesome. So, just
pacing around a little bit.
Yeah, that video is pretty fucking funny.
The cool
thing. Hey, Doug, I bet if you took me out to kill my first turkey, I'd love turkey hunting.
Well, what's cool about this is I could overlay it over this video podcast, but I don't know if I will. But either way, there's footage of it, and it's going to be out there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But so congratulations, first of all, and I want to hear the story, because in the messages, like, we have a group chat, Doug was like, hey, when are you going to get your turkey tag? I saw you guys kind of planning out when you're going to go. So lay us out. Lay this thick, heavy story of turkey hunting out on us.
Yeah, so, well, we'll go back to that. Then the message is, you know, Doug was like, oh, or you guys were talking about turkey hunting or something. I wasn't even paying attention at that point. And,
he's fucking tuned.
So I was like, Doug, are we going? He's like, yeah, I'm going Saturday or tomorrow at 5 a.m. I'm like, all right, I'll go buy a tag. So I almost forgot to buy a tag, and then I made it to the store here in town with
the
5 minutes.
Brain just quit working. You almost forgot. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I made it there 5 minutes before they closed and bought a tag, and we were going the next morning. So I'm like, woo, hit by the bell. And then, so I get every, like, all my shit still set up with, you know, I didn't have any broadheads in my arrows or nothing. Didn't have anything ready. And of course, me, last minute, I'm getting shit ready in the morning, right, putting broadheads on, getting all my camo together, all that shit.
Doesn't turkey season kind of seem like it comes out of nowhere that way? Like, with deer season, I prepare my brain and, like, my equipment. Turkeys, I'm just like, oh, shit, where's this? Because it's still just a skew, like, my clothing and stuff. Like, I haven't put my camo on, I guess, since I shot Creepy in December, you know?
Yeah, I haven't put anything on since deer hunt, you know? And it was all stuffed in the scent crusher closet, so I'm going through that in the morning trying to find everything. So I get everything loaded up, and I actually made it to Doug's on time.
Is that true?
So we get there, and
that's
we
like the first time. Throwing...
What's that?
Like the first time.
I know. I was actually there a little bit early this time for turkey hunting, too. I don't get it, but... We load up the blind and the decoys and bows and all that shit and the gator, and we head down the field, you know, and that's just it was kind of a clusterfuck because you got bags of decoys, the bow, the blind, everything you're trying to throw over your shoulder and carry it in there.
Yeah.
But you're halfway in like, man, fuck this.
Oh, yeah, you're trying to resituate. Shit's falling off your shoulders, and it's just a goddamn bit.
Yeah. What so you guys are in Iowa, for the record. I know most listeners know, but if anyone's new to this, so I mean, I should buy an Iowa tag.
You should. That'll take you.
Go on out.
They're sold out.
Yeah, are they really?
I have out of state tags.
What's it? Oh, they are sold out of state tags?
Yeah.
Oh, no shit. I was gonna see if Steve wanted to guide me on an Iowa turkey hunt.
I got you, bro, dude. We got some hens running around here. There's got to be gobblers, I'm assuming.
Anyway, go ahead, Eric. You guys get everything down there.
Yeah, get everything down there. Start Doug's out in the field, setting up the decoys, doing God knows what. And I'm setting up the blind, throwing chairs in there. And, you know, it just sucks getting all that shit set up in the dark and trying to get situated. And finally, we get in the blind. We're setting up chairs, getting the tripod set up, trying to get the camera ready. And then we take the camera out of the bag and the fluid heading on it so we don't have a tripod.
Yeah, so there was, not a good start.
Yeah, I'm like, this is not a good start. Typical with me turkey hunting.
Yeah.
And like right when the sun comes up, we hear five or six gobblers behind us in the timber up on the ridge. And, you know, Doug getting all fired up, and I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Already bad.
He's like laid back in the chair, not giving a shit. He's like, yes.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever. Yeah, I've heard that. I've been here, done that. I know how this goes.
It's not my first rodeo. It's your second rodeo.
Grizzled vet of disappointment. He's like, yeah, I was like, here we go again.
Right. And then the sun finally peeks over, and Doug's calling, and they're answering. And I think they kind of quit calling there for a while. And then all of a sudden, they fired back up again. And they're slowly getting closer and closer. And then Doug's calling. They're answering. They're cutting him off. He's like, oh, this is good. This is good. And I'm like, well, sure. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we hear one gobble. And he's like, that's real close. And we're on a fence line. And down the fence line, there's a corner where there's a gate. And the gate's open.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just sitting there. And to see that corner, Doug looks out the window. He keeps checking it because that's usually where they always run in through that gate. They don't hop the fence or anything.
Yeah.
And then we're just sitting there. We're on our phones, whatever. And he peeks out the window and goes, oh, shit, he's coming. And I just, like, full-on panic. I'm like trying to grab my bow. And I'm like, should I draw back? Because at this, I can't even see him coming.
Yeah.
The window does, you know, I seen him when he was like 20 yards away when he was inside the window. And I'm like, oh shit. So I quick draw back. And literally he ran in full speed, got right at the decoy, strutted, turned around. And I'm like, well, it's now or never. And I just let it go. And just, there's fucking about 3,000 feathers in the air just going crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's one thing.
Go ahead.
So I'm not a big turkey hunter, but I made my own like run and gun ground blind with two garden stakes and like the mesh, which actually we'll tell my story at the end. It doesn't matter, but I'm not used to hunting out of ground blind. So I know what you're saying. Like, oh, he's coming. You're like, well, fuck, how far? And you need to know if he's coming in. Cause I get panicky when turkeys get real close to the decoys. I'm like, they're only going to be here and then they're going to bolt. Like, I just feel that way. Cause it's always so close. So yeah, I get agitated with the situation. I'm enjoying it, but I'm like nervous about it.
Well, that's like when Doug's like, oh, he's coming. I'm like, at this point, I didn't even know like where he was or how close he was. And I'm like, should I draw? And he's like, yeah, draw. And yeah, right when I was drawing, that's when he came in the sight, you know, and I'm like, and he was hauling ass into these decoys, just fucking running full speed.
Yeah.
They're the DSD decoys. They're dirty.
I got to get one, man. I got two nice Avian X ones now, but I don't have a strutter. I want to get the one you have, Doug.
Yeah, the Jake and Hen mating.
Yeah, I have the Avian X, like, lay-down hen, but I think I'd be okay with just getting the Jake.
Now, as Philip Vanderpool would say, there ain't nothing better than them DSD decoys now.
Dude, when you see it, I'd argue with that. How many birds have you killed off that set of decoys, Doug?
I think we bought them 3-4 years ago, and probably 10.
Your whole family?
My whole family.
I feel like you guys stack them up over those things. Your family, I feel like, just kills a ton of turkeys, but.
Yeah, my mom and dad doubled up the day before in the same spot. And then when me and Eric went, like, Eric shot his probably one of the earliest birds we ever shot because they don't roost in our field. They roost across the creek in the woods.
Yeah.
They kind of got to call them over.
So are they flying? Oh, so you get them to cross the creek.
Yeah. They land in the timber. My timber's a little open, so I could probably go in there and kill them, but it's just easier when they see the decoys out in the field.
Right, for sure. So
Eric, by the time they crossed the creek, it probably took 5 minutes, and he was dead.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, like when I saw him in the field, Eric's like, what do I do? I was like, you should probably just draw back now. Like, he's coming.
No shit.
Yeah, okay. I mean the video we have, the footage, it's only like a minute and 6 seconds long for me drawing back, shooting, and running out in the field to, you know, go out there and get him.
Right. No, the footage is cool. What's nice about it, we're gonna throw together some of our, like, I was just kind of chopping up Doug and I's turkey kills from Kansas a couple years ago, but with yours too, we're gonna put all these out on YouTube. But I guess I want input from listeners. I was just going to chop them up and make them like 2-3 minutes. That way it's like, oh, there's the hunt. Boom. Okay, cool. But you don't got to watch 20 minutes of bullshit just to get to the goods.
Yeah, like B-roll.
Yeah. So, like, I just thought we'd just put it on there, and there it is.
Well, and like I've seen a bunch of videos of people killing turkeys. I know you have to run out there and get them as soon as you shoot them. But in the moment, I was like, I didn't know what to do. So I like Doug's like in the video, you can hear me like, go get him, go get him, go get him. And I'm like, I threw my bow down, and then I couldn't figure out how to get out of the blind.
I could hear you in the video.
On the rhino blind door, like I'm used to like a zipper or something, and I couldn't remember how to open it. So that's why the camera's like pointing at the ground, because he had to open it for me.
I'm just gonna leave all that in there because it's cool, I think.
Oh yeah, so I shoot him and he like hobbles maybe 5 yards, and I'm running out there full bore running at him, and I get like 2 feet from him, and he takes off in completely the other direction. So I'm running this way and then almost back at the blind. It's freaking hilarious.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, so how, I mean, compared to like killing a buck, how excited were you?
Like a buck being a 10, I was probably like a 4.
Jesus, man.
Damn, dude. Like,
wow.
Damn, bro.
Well, really? After I shot him and me and Doug went back up the house, I was like, yeah, my heart was racing, it was pumping, and it was cool and stuff, but it's not like deer hunting for me.
Yeah, I agree, Eric, for sure. In the moment, I get really – geez, my mic popped. Sorry about that. I don't know what's going on. Zoom does something weird. Hold on. Do I sound all right?
Yeah, yeah. Sound good. We hear the pop, really.
It must just be on my end. I don't know what the hell is going on. But anyway, for me, it's like in the moment, I'm excited, and it's like the best thing ever. But the excitement of it doesn't like stick like deer hunting does for me personally.
Right. With deer hunting, you know, you get really amped up, and you stay there for a while. Like turkey hunting for me, it was like, I shot him, and I'm going right back down.
Yeah, I get that a little bit. What's great about it, you get the meat and stuff like that, and it's a cool experience. They're interactive. It's something to do in the spring. Sam has expressed some interest in trying to kill a bird, so I have a feeling if she will commit next year, I don't even know. I mean, I'll put in for tags still, but I think my whole like dedication to it would be try to get her a bird, so we'll see.
It's definitely cool to like hear him. You know, Doug calling, them answering back, and then, like, kind of talking to each other. You know, you don't really get that with deer and stuff. You know, that whole aspect of turkey hunting is pretty fucking awesome, how you can actually call them in. They see the decoys, and they get all riled up and stuff.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
I'm glad you got one, man.
What's that?
I'm glad you got one, and I'm pumped that it was on film, too, so we'll be able to use it.
Yeah, it's not the best film, but...
Yeah, and then Right. And when I was telling Doug about, you know, it didn't get me amped up like deer hunt does. He was like, well, yeah, but this one like ran in, you shot it, and it was dead. Like, he's like, wait till they come in the field, they're strutting, and they take about 10, 15 minutes to get there, you know, and then beat the shit out of decoy. He's like, that's the cool shit.
Yeah. Are you going to fan mount this guy, or what are you going to do?
We did cut the fan off. I haven't done anything with it yet. I need to do it yet, but
throw it in the freezer.
Yeah. Well, it's in the freezer now.
It's easy, man. It's kind of fun to do your own fan mounts and stuff. I've done a few of them.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
No. Pretty easy, and they're kind of a neat deal. I'm good, though. Like, I got enough now, I think. I mean, any turkey I kill from now on out is going to be, like, I'll put it in the garage for, like, the man cave deal, but it's cool having them. Like, I think
right.
We got one in the studio. I got three fan mounts and 2 full turkeys. So it's enough.
I got way too many fans.
Yeah, I would definitely.
I hate Zoom because of this. We're like talking over each other. How many fan mounts do you have, Doug?
I probably have 10. And my parents, I might just do a wall here in the bar.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah. What's up? There's no like housewarming party. There's no like Doug's it's turkey bar or anything. Oh yeah, the whole pandemic, huh?
Yeah.
Once it gets nice,
nine people.
Definitely a party.
All right. Like, I'm trying to puke on your floor, you know what I mean?
Hey, don't let the bugs eat them.
Don't let the bugs get them.
Hey, don't let the bugs get them.
It's real out there in July. But no, I'm excited, man. Turkey Palooza is like our next hunt camp together. Dude, Doug, have you been hunting yet for birds?
No. Eric shot the one I was supposed to.
Oh, that's fair. When's your
season? Well, no, because we didn't tell this yet either, because after I shot mine, we went out there, got it, brought it back to the blind, and then we had another Tom. He was way big. I feel like he was bigger than mine, but he just wouldn't commit to the decoys. I don't know if we don't know if he couldn't see him or what was going on, but he came out of the field. He was strutting, doing his thing, and then he ended up walking back into the tall grass.
Damn.
Yeah, he came out for like 15 minutes and started his stuff and gobbled, but I don't know. He just wasn't feeling it, I guess.
That's what I don't get about turkeys. They're like, they're smart animals, but in a way they're almost so dumb they're like impossible to hunt or like to hunt. Because I went out
pretty far too.
I went out, was it last weekend? Yeah, it was last weekend. I went out Saturday and got right up in them. And then there, I have a creek that separates the north and south side of my property. And I couldn't tell. They're right on the creek. So I couldn't tell what side of the creek they were on or where they were going to go. I didn't know that. And I was calling and they flew down. I could probably have the video. I could probably put it into the mic to show you how close I was. They flew down on the opposite side of the creek. So I ran down to the creek and set up everything. And I was just doing my run and gun blind with my decoys. And I was going to see if I could get them to cross the creek, which, you know, I knew it was going to be tough, but they probably wouldn't do it. And they didn't do it. Like, I could hear them drumming. They were right on top of me. Like, the little bluff at the creek, and they were right above me. So I bet you I was 15 yards from them and never got a shot. So I went – so here's – let me see. This is – I don't know if you'll be able to hear this in podcast land.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's – I was close. I was right in them. And then I went out Sunday – on the other side of the creek in the field, set up my ground blind. They fly down on my side of the creek and I'm like, hell yeah, this is great. And they did not, they would not come in. They just stood down there on the edge of the field. They would not come close enough. I was trying to decap them. And then they went in behind this little hill. So I went running, grabbed the decoys and the bow, went running across to see if I could get ahead of them because I knew they were being stubborn. I get over there and they're on the other side of the creek. They went down and crossed the creek where I was the day before. So I'm like, all right, I'm going back to do some housework. So
you're over it.
That's, dude, I have no patience for birds unless I'm like, I like in Kansas, it was different. Like we you can hunt them all day. We went for it and that's what we did here. I'm just kind of like, ah, all right, didn't happen. Like for me to kill a bird, it's got to work out. Like it's just got to be like perfect. I'm not going to force anything at home.
I will say it's definitely going to be easier for me to buy a turkey tag from now on.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's always funner in a turkey camp too, though.
Yeah, because you're talking about birds and
you're
bullshitting, and then you get you kind of built up and you're excited to go out and all that. So you guys are going to film for Turkey Palooza, right?
Yeah, we'll be there.
You're going to film?
Yeah.
We can film. We can do whatever.
So everyone wondering, like, why aren't you hunting? You guys are Iowa. The Turkey Palooza is in Illinois.
Yep.
Steve.
Yeah, maybe.
Are you sure you've been any bird hunting?
Yeah, I'm still hung up with a dilemma with the Iowa DNR. So here's the kind of cool thing that I appreciate about the Iowa DNR, but it's kind of a headache. You have to establish 90 days of residency. It doesn't matter when you become an official Iowa resident as far as paying your taxes and shit go. They want you to prove that you've been in the state for 90 days. So if you get your driver's license, nope, 90 days going back. Oh,
my internet shitting out. You kind
when of, I got my like license,
you're all good though.
Still good.
Repeat what you said. The 90 days.
Oh yeah. So you have to be in for 90 days as an Iowa resident. It doesn't matter when you get your driver's license. You have to prove that you've been there for 90 days. So they're not going to go off of, yeah, you're a resident now, because it's really easy to go change your address. So what I've had to do is I've had to prove that I've been where I'm at for days and schedule, plus maybe a couple extra days because of how and the lady I talked to, now she's working from home. She's like, I'm not in the office. I'm working from home. So it might be a couple days. You know, I don't have access to my computers like that. So it's been over a week. I'm going to call him. Hopefully tomorrow, everything will be good. Either I'll get a phone call or an email, but I'll call him tomorrow. and they'll be like, okay, we've gone in our system and changed it. Because the nice thing that Iowa does versus what Illinois does, so when you're in, and most of our Illinois residents can attest to this, the Illinois DNR website is a step below dog shit, but a step above eBay's website.
Of course,
now it's bad. Now, if you guys have listened to this podcast for a long enough time, you know that I was an Iowa resident at one time, way back in, it's like right when this started, 2015-ish. They still have all my records there. So they still have, and I can see when I bought, the days I bought deer tags as an Iowa resident. So my customer number is in there. The website is very easy to navigate. They just make it tough for you to just be like, hey, I'm a resident now, let me hunt. Obviously, there's ways that they can help you out.
I think probably the reason that is, Steve, and I don't know for sure, but I know there's a lot of people that do, like, they'll get P.O. boxes in other states.
Yeah.
And, like, yep. Do, like, little one-off shady type shit. And, man, I've heard about people doing that. I'm trying to think. I should fucking blast them, but I'm not going to. But I didn't even remember who it was. I was talking to someone that had a P.O. box in Colorado, but they lived in another state. So and I'm like, you're going to get fucking caught. Like, that's right. I don't know how that works out, but
it's not it. When.
Yeah.
And to us, that's my story there. I don't really remember the whole thing, but there's a way people try to, like, snake residency in different states.
Yeah. And essentially you're poaching, which we have a Stop Poachers t-shirt available on workingclassbowhunter.com.
Good call. I've been forgetting to plug our own shirt.
But all proceeds go to Stop Poaching. But I'm mad as shit about it because, you know, if it takes a little bit longer than a week, if I'm not able to hunt this weekend in podcast land, whenever that is, you know, I got to go back to work next week where I would have been able to use those days to go out and get on a bird. Now I'm limited to maybe 2 weekends, which if you're an Illinois resident, that's about what you're used to. So what I can appreciate is...
Huh? 2 days to hunt this for third. Would I have second or third season? I had second season.
But you technically got one full day because you can only hunt till 1 o'clock.
Fair. Yep.
So you better find out where they're roosting at. Now it's a huge advantage for me, even though I only get maybe 4 days.
Oh, you get way more than that.
Well, I'm saying in a weekend.
Oh.
If I only get to hunt weekends. Now, assume maybe I go back to work for a week and get a project done, and yeah, just with all this COVID bullshit, but it's an interesting process. But you know what, man, if I gotta wait another week or two to do everything correctly, that's what I'm gonna do. And they've been very, very helpful. It's just, hey, they've got the rules that they have to stick by, and you gotta appreciate Iowa doing that. I was really got everything figured out. The website's super easy to navigate. Any questions you have are getting answered. Whereas, like, if you're an Illinois resident and you don't have your hunter safety card, have fun doing this. Try to find your hunter safety number and let me know how that experience is. So a number that you will often need to either get your license.
Okay. My power literally just went out and then we had to reset. I was like, oh shit, we're going to do this podcast over. And that would suck. Just because it wouldn't be real that time. Steve was talking about his hunter safety card and the number, like in Illinois, trying to retrieve your hunter safety number when a lot of them, we did our hunter safety course like back in the day. But what I did say that you didn't hear is that I actually have my original hunter safety card from when I was like 11. So
that's they treat it like a social security number, and you would figure that, and this is just my way of thinking that if you've passed something and you're well qualified, it should go across the board. However, it doesn't work like that. I get it. You got to do your due diligence. But if you move, you know, a couple times or whatever, and you should just be able to look up a number that says you passed something, like you should be able to look up your licenses. Like I was bringing up with Iowa, I was able to look up the date I bought a license like 5 years ago. Right, you would figure I'd be able to look up something as simple as a hunter safety number, and That is not the case. At
what I did.
Pro tip: you got to call them.
I took a picture. So my I had mine, and then my dad ended up getting the original copy. So what I did is I took a picture of it and emailed it to myself, and I titled the subject as Kurt Geyer Hunter Education Number or Card or whatever. If I type in Kurt Geyer Hunter Education, then I just use it to get super specific so that email pops up. So I'm going hunting in Wyoming next month, and I don't know if it's a requirement, but it's. I was reading some of the regs, and it said something about having your hunter safety card. So what I did, pulled up that email. There's my picture. I printed it out. I cut it out, folded it up. I put it in my envelope that I have. I have my tag in there. I have my permit and my license and all that stuff in there. And then I even, and this might be a little too far, I don't know. Or just, I'd rather have too much than not enough. I printed the my purchase receipts of one and put them in that envelope too, because that way it's like, oh, here, I bought it here and here. Like you can see.
I bet your rating on eBay as a seller and a buyer is like 5 out of 5 stars.
I don't have eBay, but yeah, maybe.
I bet if it was. Someone's waiting for it.
I mean, I get like we're hard on poachers. I mean, I think for good reason, you know. But let me say this. I know there's a lot of people who are like, well, how come you haven't gave so-and-so shit, so-and-so shit? Well, have they been convicted or have they admitted that they poached? Well, that's why we're not hard on them if that's the case. People get caught on bullshit all the time. But until I hear somebody admit it or they get convicted of it, you never actually know. But
yeah,
that doesn't mean we're not going to make jokes. Go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
I'm just there's a lot of flaws that that a lot of good hardworking cats can get caught up with. I mean, you know, technically you could get popped if you didn't buy something like a habitat stamp, but yeah, you're able to fully purchase. Thing. Yeah, you're able to fully purchase a license and harvest an animal, and it's like it's no hang up. It's like, but if you require something like that, I think it should. If you're going to require something, it should be just thrown in there, like in. You shouldn't be able to buy something without it. I don't understand the reasoning behind that, but there's also a lot of hangups with computer system glitches. Like there's been times where I've had to go buy an Illinois license, which I've bought the past 4 years. Everything's legal. Everything checks out.
Yeah.
Good luck trying to find the records on that Illinois. Because there'd be times where I'd go to buy them. And if you remember buying an Illinois license, this was like the first year that they went to computers. The first year I bought a license in Iowa, they had computers. The whole computer system. Whereas if you've ever seen like a, you know, like a little mom and pop shop, like a little restaurant pop up with a little credit card machine, that's how they would be buying all the, you would get all the information on there on a credit card machine. And there's tons of times that, hey, I need to get my hunting license and a couple deer tags, you know, get the combo tag. And they go, what's your hunter safety number? And I'm like, I literally bought a license last year.
For Iowa or Illinois?
For Illinois.
Illinois, a lot of people don't know, you can do your social security number to pull up all your customer stuff. So I actually found the page. I couldn't tell you exactly what page it is, but it's on Illinois' site where I can go back and look at everything I've ever bought through the state of Illinois.
Well, see, like ever since I took my hunter safety course, I never got a card, like in a physical card. I've always went by my social security number.
See, I might be wrong, and maybe some of our Western guys could chime in, but you might need that. Or I wonder if you would have to take it again to get a hunter safety number, because some states require you to have a hunter safety number and all that.
Yeah.
I'm sure I have a number. I've just never got it. They've just always, when we went through it, they're like, and every time we went to buy a tag or a license, fishing license, anything. And they went to their computer, like, okay, what's your social? Or you had to give them your state ID, and they could scan that, and it would come up with all your information.
My hunter safety card is actually in Iowa. I took it in Iowa.
Oh, really?
I actually took it, I think, at Doug's high school.
Oh, nice.
Really?
Yeah, West.
West?
Oh, really? I took mine, I don't know, somewhere else, I guess. I don't know. I don't remember.
I took it in. We did it in, like, your guys' lunchroom. That's where we did our, like, the course, watch all the stuff. And I remember we took our tests in, like, the auditorium. And I'll never forget it. I don't know why this stuck with me. Me and my dad were in the front row. We get our test. And I'm a youngster, right? So it's kind of like my dad can help me. I remember I had one answer and he made me change it, and that was the only one I got wrong. But then I also remember we took questions when we did our final, like our final, you know, and some guy was like, hey, would it be okay? Cause you know, it was game wardens teaching our class. And one of the guys goes, sitting in the back. Would it be okay if I went out to hunt, but in out of season, but I shot deer with a paintball gun just for practice? And the dude goes, the conservation officer goes, come down here. Like basically was like, I want to talk to you. And I hope they didn't pass him, because that's like the moronic bullshit that makes us look bad. But I remember for some reason that stuck with me, because I'm pretty sure my dad like literally laughed out loud when that happened. And I just remember telling that story in Fulton County, Illinois deer camps for years. Like, just
was he like serious or was he joking?
Dead fucking serious. And this dude was like in his late 30s probably.
Oh boy. He might have been, because that was probably, so you were 11, that was about the height when paintball was hot, so this dude might have, he wasn't running no Tippmann 98 custom, you know, this dude was
right.
I might be wrong, it was
definitely an auto cocker.
Yeah,
it was 2001. I think it was 2000 or 2001.
That was it, man.
Did you guys have to do like a field day too?
I didn't have a field day. That's the one thing.
I didn't either. No. So when I took mine in Illinois, that what they made me do, we took it at the Rock Island Conservation Club. And this is the way that I believe they still do it. Now,
Sam's my wife, and my brother-in-law, Jake, they took their class together there at the same spot.
Yeah, so we had to do 2 days. So what they did for us was they did the video portion, which I wish we could get a hold of some of the training videos. Actually, I got to connect. We could probably get a hold of some of those. Some of the greatest footage I've ever seen of hunting accidents ever fucking happen are the DNR training what not to do videos of the guys like, bro, you gonna take your shotgun out there? Yeah, it's fine. And he trips on a rock for like 3 minutes and blows his dude's head off. It's amazing.
I mean, okay, you can't laugh at that. I mean, I get like this.
What would be better if Rip. It's every training video ever where they got to go, and it's like, dude, this is not real life. These are not real life situations.
I get what you're saying. I'm kind of busting your balls, because when I watch safety videos at work, I'm like, oh, look at that shit. Like,
right.
Just backs off a forklift backwards off like a 6 foot cliff and rolls his forklift. I'm like, damn, dude, you work there and you didn't know that was there, or like what's happening?
They do that, but the problem is, it's like, man, you gotta have a little more common sense than that. Like, put real life situations in where like guys are putting guns in the trucks and not loading, they're blowing out doors. Like that's a real life thing that can happen.
Right. Well, but hey, have you ever seen Mad TV when they do the skit Paul Timberman's workshop?
There's a Timberman's shop somewhere, and I keep meaning to send you a video. It's like, I wonder if that's Paul Timberman's workshop.
If listeners out there, if you don't know what Paul Timberman's workshop is, just Google Paul Timberman's workshop and on video. And like, it's Will Sasso, the comedian, old Mad TV, and it's just him doing like dumb work, like it's like a Tool Time show.
Yeah,
but he's just like putting screws through his thumbnail, building the shelf, like, you know,
cutting
like
his fingers off and shit.
And then wipes them up with, like, it's just like, if you're any type of blue collar guy and you work on anything, for some reason you find humor in it, because it's so moronic.
Oh yeah.
I remember the one with the table saw. He just like stared at the camera, and it's like the most blood you ever seen, just everywhere.
if you ever want to get Kurt to pop, there's like three things in this world that I figured out that Kurt's gonna laugh the hardest at. It's Paul Timberman's workshop,
yeah.
Kenny Rogers jackass. Kenny Rogers rest in peace. And lean memes, which figure out on your own what that is.
I'm a Will Sasso fan. Hey, that guy cracks me up.
But back to the original, what they did. So I like the setup, what they did for the Illinois guys. So you go and you do the workbook stuff on a Thursday night. It's about 3-4 hours. I know there's people complaining, but it's like, dude, you know, you're going to go out to potentially do something dangerous. You can take 3 hours, because we've talked to a lot of people who have luckily come home, and, you know, after being in some accidents, a lot of people some people don't come home. So you can take 3 hours out of your day to make sure you come home to your family. They did a 3-hour book work day on a Thursday, and then Friday, and then Saturday they did the field day, which they ran you through a bunch of pretty generic things. But you got to shoot guns. And I remember the one guy that was in my group when we were like shooting a couple clay pigeons, which I didn't know I could shoot clay pigeons as well as I could.
It's super fun, man. We should get together and do that.
We need to do that for sure.
I didn't know. Like, dude, I hit like 2 out of 3 of them. I'm like, is that good? And they're like, have you shot shotguns before? I'm like, not really.
Dude, but, let's do that. That sounds fun. Do you have a thrower? Anybody?
Yeah.
I have access to an automatic one.
Oh, my God. Shit, yes.
No, we could shoot them at your place, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. We're in. I got to get a shotgun, though. I don't got one.
Yeah. Well, the funniest thing is the guy.
I got one you can borrow.
The 10 gauge. Nice.
10 gauge for clay pigeons.
Dude, two times, like, yeah, I'm good.
I actually just threw the boss gobbler away.
What? We should have hung it in the studio on the ceiling.
Dude, it was just like, I just kept moving it, and I'm like, why am I hanging on to this? Okay. It was funny, but.
You got to explain what the boss gobbler is.
So, I think you were going turkey hunting, right? And you needed a shotgun.
Yeah, I wanted to go with the shotgun, and I was like, oh, I can't remember this story, but you're like, hey, I got a 10 gauge you could take. I'm like, can I actually take it? Because I will.
And I was like, yeah, if you buy shells for it. So you went and bought a box of 10 gauge shells. And he's like, well, let's go shoot this thing. I'm like, all right, I got a spot. So Kurt, I have this piece of cardboard in my garage, and he draws out a turkey on it. And dude, you blasted that. I don't know how far you were away.
Like
30, 40 yards.
40 yards, yeah.
And it just. Away. It annihilated the whole piece of card. It was probably a fucking 2-foot by 3-foot piece of cardboard.
The thing's nuts. I was my buddy Tyler. We're going out turkey hunting this weekend, and he just moved into a new place. He's into hunting, but I'm trying to like push him over the edge on it to where he's like committed. He's so close, I can feel it. And I was like, hey, do you want to go out with a bow or a shotgun? Because he just wants to get a bird. He's never shot one. And it's like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, dude, just grab a shotgun. Let's go out for a few hours. The piece we're going, I know real well. I'm like, let's go out and just do it. And I was like, hey, I could see if Eric let us borrow that 10 gauge. And he's like, ah, fuck that. we're going to go out this weekend to a piece I know where I killed basically all my turkeys and see if we can't get them one with a shotgun.
Yeah, I still have film it. I obviously still have the gun, but I still have the shells you bought for it.
Oh, do you really?
The turkey leg, oh yeah.
I got the Super Mag with 3.5-inch shells that feel pretty good.
I'm pretty sure these were 3.5-inch. They might have been 10, I don't know, but 10-gauge.
That's the ones where you shoot once and you're like, yeah, it's on.
It's on. There it is.
It's dead.
Part of me wants to come grab that 10-gauge, Eric, and those shells, and just when Tyler comes over, because he lives 5 minutes from me now, he just moved. When we go out to the property, I just want to be like, hey, I got the 10 gauge. That's what you're shooting today.
I got it. It'd the fucking barrel on it's like this. It looks like a goddamn cannon coming out of it. I know.
Part of me wants to do that. I'll think about that. I might have to do that just to surprise him.
Dude, I want to,
brother.
I want to tell you guys a story about like I want to finish a story about when we were getting ready to shoot for the guys that were in my hunter safety class, because this shit is gold. I think I've told you guys this a couple of times, but. So we're getting ready to shoot. And, you know, obviously they want to, you know, make sure it's like, hey, if you've never shot a gun before, you're getting ready to go out here. And they've got instructors, the greatest guys ever. They're going through the gun safety, which is a very important thing, you know, for people who just want to pick up hunting. And there's this dude who's like standing like next to me because we're in like 3 rows by the conservation club. And the dude next to me, it's like it's his turn. And he's brothered out in camo. Like he's good to go, fully dressed, like.
He's ready to go.
And he waited in line for like 4 or 5 people, and he gets up there and they go to hand him a shotgun. He goes, I'm a felon, I can't shoot that gun. And the guy like looked at him, he goes, thank you for telling me that. And he's like, go see so and so over there, because like you have to pass each individual, you know, thing. If you're gonna hunt, like you have to be able to like your field day, you have to pass each station they go to. So like obviously, this guy couldn't pass because he couldn't shoot a gun, but he was very honest, and they were like, hey, you get an A+, buddy.
To pass him?
Yeah, because he was going to bow hunt.
He killed the guy with a gun, so.
Yeah, he right. did. I mean, it's like, clearly, like, the dude knows how to kill, but yeah, he was, so.
With a shotgun, right?
Yeah, with a shotgun. So by the law, he was never going to shotgun hunt, but the dude looked like a shotgun hunter, so.
It's probably the same dude that I had back in the day that wanted to shoot near the paintball gun. He's like, might as well give this another shot.
He had to go again.
He went back years later.
It was funny. It was probably the same dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, well, son of a bitch, I failed. I'm going to have to give this 15 years before I go back for another one. How ironic. This the same cat. The same dude that was in my hunter safety course was in Steve's. Just still be a fucking idiot.
It's like a learner's permit. You got to wait so many days before you can take it again.
Yeah. The last conservation officer was like, you can't come back for like 16 years, bro. Like,
you got to stop coming here.
They gave me the score of you know, what your overall passing was. And I heard guys are like, shit, dude, I got like a 74. Like, you know, obviously like 70s passing. Like, you just be average when you pass. And I'm sitting there with a 98, just like walking through like Boy Scout camp. Like, I was like, yeah, I missed like two questions on the written part. Like, I got an A on everything else because it was like, how to exit a boat, put two hands on the bridge and put the shotgun and move it. Yeah, this is easy. Dudes were getting like,
it's like 70. How to cross the fence and maybe like, they're wrong.
How the fuck are you guys failing this? And you think you're going to pattern deer? Which clearly, they might have been better at killing deer than me. I'm good at book work, but when it comes to putting real work in.
Fuck that. Yeah, but Steve, when you took it, you were like 29, and the other people were like 13.
No, they're all adults.
Cut them some slack here.
It's a little moron. He got a 60. What an idiot.
He's a fucking idiot. What an idiot. Who's this kid?
He's 80. Of course, he can't even wipe his own ass. Yeah. Why would I think he would pass this?
I was like 12 and got 100%. It's pretty easy.
It's not hard.
There was a lot of adults there, but they've made it a lot better, which I kind of disagree with a lot of ways where they the online portion where you can do it at home is fine. The field day, I know people are like, well, I got kids and I got blah, blah, blah. Like, you know what? I don't give a shit about that. If you're going to go out into the woods, you're going to hunt public land, you can sacrifice a fucking day to at least get out there and maybe learn something. And maybe they could be you don't want to lose hunting numbers, but I feel like maybe they're a little bit more strict on on passing you because I've heard a story about when they were doing in-city hunts. All right, so you're in-city hunting, right? Where people live and a lot of cities are going through with this. So the way that you can get issued a license is you go to your local archery shop that's participating, and sometimes you have to hit an arrow at 20 yards and be in a they'll put a paper plate.
Yeah.
You know how big a paper plate is. And you have to hit two arrows in that to qualify. Now, as guys that like us that shoot every day, how hard is that? That you could wake up and that'd be the first thing you could do in the morning and you could do that, right?
Yeah.
There are people that would get one arrow in and fuck up the other and they're like, well, you know, really I only need one arrow to get it done, and they would bitch about it. Like, if you can't hit a paper plate at 20 yards, that's how, when I first started getting into it, that's what they were like, that's the goal. Now that we shoot all the time, you know, now you try to hit something that's smaller than the lid of a beer can, you know, you essentially want to hit like a
bottle top. The paper plate, though, is like standard, right? Yeah, I think it's a fair judgment. Arguably, I think it could be a little smaller, but.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. You're going into neighborhoods, residences. Like
it could be a paper plate, but you'd have to hit like the bottom of the size of a beer bottle once.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I do believe they should be a little more strict. Now, I understand that not a lot of guys who are like serious about that, you know, you got to kind of toe that line of guys that are serious about archery are going to be able to hit that, but they're not going to be hunting in city unless they get smartened up to where they know that 200 inch bucks.
How many arrows do you get to shoot on a lot of those courses? Because I know Iowa does some of those. Like, how many arrows?
I think you have to hit like four at five.
To a paper plate to put one, you can't really see, to put one arrow in the center of this battery, that should be fairly easy, but I don't know.
Unless you're using your 100 yard pin.
Yeah.
Dude,
whoops!
He's a hundy.
He's like, just put the bow down, sir. No, I can do it. Like,
listen, no, I promise. Give me four more arrows.
And everything.
All right, I think we close her out there. Zoom podcast. So. I'm over them. I'm declaring it now. Executive order for Working Class Bow Hunter. Back on normal podcast schedules next week. Everybody will be in studio. I'm fucking over it.
Sure, you need a gavel,
dude. I know. If I was a savage, I'd shatter a beer bottle over our mixer, but I'm not going to do that.
Kurt is not a savage. Let the record show.
Dude, on record. But I will say that.
Use your beer bottle, Duke.
So I think this, we need to go back to normal. I'm in silent protest. I've been working. My life seems normal. And so we should be in studio right now. So next week we'll do it. Eric, congratulations, sir, on your bird. And I think you win the trophy for the best cover art of 2020 thus far.
I don't know how many people messaged me and said, you are the new Turkey King because the whole mullet and Tiger King and all that shit.
That's a great, great comparison.
I shoot one turkey and I'm the Turkey King. Yeah. I don't know.
Hey, thank Austin Feeling for that.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, also, something I was thinking about. Well, two things. We have the Stop Poaching, Make a Difference, or Stop Enabling Poachers, Make a Difference shirt on our website now. I think that runs till April 30th, and then it is done. It's a pre-order. Gator Outdoors is printing those shirts for us to cut out cost. He's basically not making any money on it. We're doing it at cost so we could make these shirts as cheap as possible to give more money to some outlet of conservation. We haven't 100% dialed in yet. It will be something to stop poachers or somehow to give back and get children and kids involved in hunting in the outdoors. So get on there, available to the 30th. Steve, I was going to say something else while you guys are chatting. I don't remember what else it was. The shirt. Fuck, I got sidetracked.
Yeah, two things.
The shirt, we're doing an elite bow giveaway. Get to our Facebook. I should post that in the description. But you just sign up there, and that we're picking a winner June 10th, I believe. And is that it? I think so.
I feel like we should mention that even though there was the JB Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, did extend the stay-at-home order to May 31st, still not interfering with our. With our shoot, which is June 20th.
Fuck, dude. I'm worried about it.
It's starting to get a little squirrely.
He extended it to May 31st? Mm-hmm. Yep. Fuck that. Today. That's stupid.
For what reason, you might ask? Now, if you believe in the COVID, stay safe. Do everything you got to do to try to stop the spread of this. But at some point, it's getting a little ridiculous, and I don't think that everybody should rush out and go out just –
Hey, dude, I've been to Menards like 100 times in the last 3 weeks. Nobody else in Illinois gives a shit right now, I guarantee.
They really don't. And
I'm not saying it's not a real thing. I'm just saying people in Illinois don't give a shit. They're buying paint and trim. They're trying to do some house projects.
Paint and trim is the number one thing going on.
Shingles, you know, they're trying to get them roofs fixed.
Hey Eric, that's a nice hat.
Yeah, plug that.
So, everyone at trade show always sees this hat and they ask me, where can I get one? Well, we have more on the way.
Ooh,
oh. We will be launching them
tomorrow. I don't know.
Sometime soon.
I just gotta hit the publish button and then they'll be out.
Keep your eye out for them. If you meet it this long and you find out that the hats are there, maybe this is the only thing we're gonna do. Maybe we don't tell them that they're on the website to see if they figure it out.
That's a good idea. Also, I think you need to go to the trailer and pull out the tall boy koozies, and for every purchase of one of those hats, throw in a tall boy koozie.
Let me give a spin of this hat.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Damn.
Bro, this is Eric. We should start an OnlyFans for the working class and just have Eric just spinning around the whole time.
Just videos of him doing, that'd be great. All right,
in a bar stool. It's awesome. All right.
Yeah. All right. Next week.
Love you, boys.
Cheers, guys. All right. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.